Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Bradley Breeden, who most of you may know as the Substitute Politico, the man behind Guelph Politico's coverage of council meetings during this year's budget process. It seemed appropriate at the end of this year to look back in some way, so I decided to give Bradley a very public expression of gratitude while doing a kind of exit interview about his experiences. Looking back at the budget and covering city council is the topic of this week's Politicast, but first, my usual public service announcement. Guelph Politico is crowdfunded through Patreon, where you can contribute on a per-monthly basis for any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all that money goes to maintaining a locally sourced independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you'll be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of city council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or go to patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. Now on with the show. The thing about covering council on a regular basis is that, in a sense, you become a part of the political machine. When you've been in the council chambers long enough, you begin to see the same patterns, you begin to develop expectations, and you begin to see the things that people who don't always pay close attention to council may miss. Expectations for this budget process, the one that just ended, given the previous two budgets passed by council, seem to indicate that this would be the most difficult one yet. But it instead turned out to be one of the easiest. So what a time to be a newcomer to the process. I met Bradley Breeden through Reddit after months of trying to find someone to cover the budget process. Not only was he willing to do the job for the piddly amount I was able to pay him, he took it on enthusiastically and eagerly. Along the way, Bradley took on the added responsibility of covering regular council meetings, live blogging the resolution of the 75 Dublin Street Development cliffhanger, and December's regular planning meeting. With Bradley, a political science student at the University of Guelph, I have to admit I got lucky. So for this final Guelph Politicast for the year 2016, I invited Bradley into the podcasting booth to talk about his experiences, what he knew about council before he started, what he's learned about it since, and how seeing government in action affected his view of his chosen field. It's interesting to see the live blogging process and the process of covering council through the eyes of someone else, and it was an unusual experience for me turning my Twitter account over to someone else. I think what follows was a fun and informative exchange between myself and Bradley, and a nice way to sum up the year as we wind down this very important first year of funding Politico. To all of you who donate to the cause, I was able to bring Bradley on because of you, and it has been a thrill that it's been as successful for me, and I hope it has been successful for you, the readers, thus far. In any event, I caught up with Bradley Breeden before the holidays in studio. So Bradley Breeden, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
And for those who, everybody should know, everyone should follow along with the council meetings, but you were the substitute Politico through the budget process and a couple of non-budget related issues, which I appreciate very much. I'm not going to ask you, how did you become interested in politics? Obviously you are, because why else would you sit at the city council meeting for hours and listen to what people are saying? But in terms of maybe you're a U of G student, you're not from Guelph, but in terms of what you knew about Guelph City Council before actually venturing inside the council chambers as the substitute Politico, what did you know about Guelph City Council?
There wasn't much information that I had about the councillors involved in City Council. I knew a bit about Cam Guthrie himself. I actually saw a video of him performing a cover of REM, Everybody Hurts, I believe, downtown. So to say the least, my intro into Guelph Municipal Politics was seemed pretty relaxed. But once I got inside the chambers, which if you haven't been, it's a very, very ornate. Mm-hmm. I was just taken aback a bit. It's a massive circular room, massive walls lined with wood. Very beautiful for municipal chambers. It's definitely had a sense of there's formality and a lot more seriousness than I was kind of expecting from, just being involved at a local level.
So they took it seriously, which is good to hear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're spending your tax dollars, not in a joking manner, for sure.
What was, I mean, you talked kind of briefly about your expectation of the what's in the hall and or how the hall it looks, but I mean, I think paying attention online and perhaps looking at councils through the media glasses, whether they're, you know, more reporting like we do, or whether it's, you know, with a more eye on opinion, like say what Jerry Barker does, there's always seems to be a feeling amongst people that I don't know, that as you were saying, it's kind of jokey that councilors aren't taking things very seriously, or that it's a very political, very partisan atmosphere, even when they're talking about something serious like the budget. So in terms of that point of view, what was your observations in that regard?
Well, I think there's a definitely public perception that politics is, because it's always the vocal minority, right? You don't see mm-hmm. things when they're going 100% according to plan and, right. and nothing weird's happening. You see the Donald Trumps. You see Parks and Rec, the TV show where, you know, everyone is totally incompetent, but somehow things get done at the end of the day. For the vast majority of all my interactions in city council, everything worked 100% of the time. What you did see, though, was that these are people who are involved in a job where they take things seriously. They respect the time of each other and like their time being respected in turn. And when that is either compromised or not necessarily being maybe taken into account as much as it should be, it rubs them the wrong way. I'm reminded of an instance. Mayor Guthrie had originally at the beginning, on the onset of the budget meeting, had made it very clear that he didn't want any surprises during the budget meeting because mm-hmm. as I've heard, the previous session lasted sometimes till like 1 a.m.
Yep.
And they would have to, continue it the next morning. So he was very adamant that he wanted everything on the table right before you went in so that it would be very concise and to the point. And there was some new information that kind of came out about a federal grant that could possibly be given to the city of Guelph. And I think it was Councillor Gibson who is really, to say the least, was rattled that this new information was coming out at the last second. And he quoted Mayor Guthrie. He's like, we made a point to say we don't want any surprises, and here I am in the middle. Like, it was 3 hours in, too. This wasn't, like, at the onset. Like, they had been deliberating for a long time, and this new information came out. And so
this was at the meeting where it was all
everything. Yeah, this was the actual budget meeting. Yeah. Sorry, I should have clarified. And he was visibly upset, and there was definitely some tension in the room after, and It definitely took some time for everyone to kind of settle down and, get back to business. But, it came from not necessarily like personal drama, but it was because, their time is valuable and
right.
and the time that they're being paid by the taxpayers is valuable. And so I don't think they want to frivolously waste that on, shenanigans and, deliberating about things that necessarily could have been solved if they were just being a little bit more proactive.
And I hear that, and I do wonder, though, if perhaps that bar was set a little too high. I wasn't there. You were, but although I did hear Mayor Guthrie and Chambers at other meetings say he didn't want there to be any surprises. I do wonder, though, considering that surprises are inevitable,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's good to run like a Swiss watch. It's good to like shoot for efficient, and you get your points together and shoot them down one by one. But I do always wonder how practical is that, because you can be the Sheldon Cooper and you can account for every second of every day.
Mm-hmm.
But then when something you don't expect doesn't happen, it immediately throws a wrench into the plans and it ends up actually being maybe more inefficient.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a Mike Tyson quote that goes...
excellent.
Yeah, definitely a good indicator of local politics. He says, everyone has a plan before they get punched in the mouth. And uh-huh. I think that really is indicative of with local politics, especially in the, have everything planned and accounted for, because, the city staff did an amazing job accounting for a lot of the variables. And but like just the amount of scope and things you need to cover to, for, in particular, the municipal budget meeting, like there are so many variables and factors and things you need to account for that there's no way you can keep them all. All your ducks in a row. So I think having some flexibility and being able to kind of be able to be, you know, able to ad lib. I think that's a very important skill to have, especially in politics.
And to revisit what you said earlier, this was a particularly interesting budget process in terms of it did run fairly smoothly. The entire budget was passed in under 8 hours, and there was a pizza break.
Yeah, there was a pizza party.
Did you get pizza?
I did not get pizza.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not employed by the town, so
I just wanted to make that clear because there was like two like 8 hour meetings one day after trying to pass a budget last year, and there was no pizza. And I'm like, if Bradley got pizza and I didn't get pizza, I'm going to be pissed. But no, you said,
who do I talk to?
Exactly. But since you didn't get pizza, I'll move on. But it was a fairly smooth process. And I always wonder, and I was wondering this since bringing you on board, what your thoughts on how council operates. Because I think a lot of people perhaps get a bit of, I don't know, shell shock, the deeper they get into politics. And I've talked to city councilors about this before, and they mentioned like they get emails and calls from people like, well, why can't you do this? And it's like, well, our powers are limited. We're just like city councilors. Mm-hmm. And when you kind of get into the minutia of it, when you kind of see how things operate at the council meeting, I wonder if it was kind of like a, I mean, and you're a political science student, mm-hmm. so you're studying this. What did you have any shell shock?
I was the first day I was there, I was definitely on my back foot a bit. I was learning a lot of the councilors' names. I was trying to kind of keep up with a lot of the motions being passed. And because with council, it's what you see isn't necessarily all that's been going on throughout right. the deliberative process. There's a lot of conversations that you aren't privy to. There is a lot of underlying factors that, you know, influence each councilor's decision. And, you know, there's a lot of things to the process that you just aren't aware of. And so as it's unfolding in front of you, you're kind of, you're trying to keep up with all of this. You want to, you know, you're trying to do your best to cover it, in a concise and informative, as well as, you know, making sure you're throwing in your own kind of personal mm-hmm. take on it. But at the same time, you're also learning stuff at the same time. So I'm not just sitting there covering it. I'm also, you know, flipping through Wikipedia pages. Mm-hmm. I'm reading through the all the bylaws, and I'm like, oh, well, I actually don't know what that means, so I have to go read up on this. So, you know, it was very much a learning process right at the beginning. And even till the very end, I was definitely still wrapping my head around some things. But I think I was getting better by the end. I'd like to say that
yeah.
I was getting in the groove of it a bit there.
Yeah, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. I always keep a Google window open that's just on the Google homepage ready to – acronyms especially, because mm-hmm. I guess when you deal with acronyms like every day or often enough that you mm-hmm. just – AODSE, this is against the AODSE, and you're like, what the heck is AODSE? And then you have to find out because mm-hmm. it is almost like a language barrier because, you know, they're in the weeds on all the particulars of this the whole time. And I think that's something we forget is you or I or Tony at the Today or Doug at the Tribune, we walk into the council chamber, we cover the meeting, we're there for like three or four however hours. Maybe there's a couple hours where we're looking through the agenda and the materials. Yeah. But then then we go and think about, you know, Stranger Things or yeah. you know, getting a burger or something.
Go buy groceries. yeah.
But that's kind of a cultural disconnect is that they live and breathe this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And we have to kind of serve as translators between us who are actually there and doing this all the time versus people who maybe just want to flip through the Politico article and see what happened.
Yeah, so one example was this past meeting where they were discussing zoning bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were proposing a new development at 200 Beverly Street, and whoever had proposed this had put forth a memorandum of understanding, so MOU.
Yeah.
And so first off, I don't know what an MOU is, so I had to go and read up on that. And it's a lot of very intense legalese. Like, mm-hmm. And... you know, I have a fairly good understanding of, you know, what legal writing and meaning is about. But at the same time, you know, you need to read all that while taking in what's happening in the council at the same time. And I think a lot of, well, the counselors seemed like they knew what they were doing, but you know, the people people in the audience, you know, when they're saying, you know, oh, we need these, we need the counselors to sign a memorandum of understanding, a lot of them are just looking around like, I don't know what that means, like, that's I don't understand what a memorandum of understanding is. And so they're talking about how it's this historic passing of a thing. You know, I don't think council would ever sign one for a zoning bylaw before. But, you know, it was definitely a learning process in that specific moment, because I wanted to make sure, one, that I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
It wasn't misrepresenting the facts. But two, that I could understand it in a way that I could make it digestible for someone who might not have that kind of understanding of what that is.
Yeah. And, it, of course, the 200 Beverly Street site has its own separate weirdo history because it's – that has to be taken into account, because it was in the Emeco site, and Emeco went out of business in the 90s, and then some rando guy like bought it for his song because it's toxic.
Okay.
And then he sold it to like some weirdo church that I guess was waiting for the UFO to come. I can't remember all the details. Yeah. And then they eventually vacated and ownership went back to the city. And then here we are 20 years later and we're finally signing a memorandum of understanding. And I find that one of the biggest challenges is issues that go back years and decades. And then they finally come up to council and you know, you talk, you know, people talk about the glacial place of politics, but I mean, this is an example right here. It's like, here's 13 acres of prime real estate. It is toxic. It needs to be cleaned up before it even gets redeveloped. That's not entirely the city's responsibility. And actually, the city kind of just, the property just kind of fell in the city's lap because it was owned by a privately held company. But I mean, this goes back to when I was in high school. You're probably maybe grade school.
Yeah, this maybe up. Even earlier. Who knows?
Maybe even earlier, and that's sometimes hard to get to wrap your head around. Is just that the institutional memory of it all.
Mm-hmm. And like in particular for the 200 Beverly Street proposal, like it wasn't even even close to having, you know, ground being broke yet. It was still very much in a deliberative phase. They were still looking for backers in terms of financing this whole thing. And then while they're presenting their the presentation, Councillor Bell goes and says, you know, like, I like what you guys are saying. I like what you're getting at. But, you know, people in the local community might also have some stakes in this as well, because, you know, this has been such a historic site in Guelph. And, you know, local business is always looking for a way to develop itself. Mm-hmm. So even then, you know, they're just trying to get a stamp on it to be like, we're not there yet. We want to be there yet. So give us some time to figure this out. And even then, they're already hitting roadblocks because everything just takes – and the scope of it all is just so mind-boggling to really factor in how many people and how many pens have touched how many papers to track all that. Like, it really puts in perspective when you see a building go up, you know, you're just like, oh, it's construction, but it's there is a monolithic Illuminati-esque amount of work that is required to get anything done.
I think we want to be careful throwing around the Illuminati, but sorry. given the trends and fake news. But you were also there for the 75 Dublin vote, which was a huge thing. And I was there for the Monday night, and that was just hearing people respond to it, and we were all there till 1 in the morning. And but you actually had to cover the actual vote. And that must have been an experience, because I had all the knowledge about the feedback from the night before, and then you were going in kind of fresh. To cover the actual how things are going to fall out on that.
Well, it was definitely a first for me to have people protesting outside of a place I was working. That was, I can take that off my bucket list. It definitely made me kind of be like, oh, what am I getting myself involved with here?
Like, I'm just here to watch. Don't hit me.
Well, everyone's looking at you with like dirty looks, you know, because you're going in without a sign. They're like, who is this guy? Like, he's part of the problem, not part of the solution. So, but yeah, like that's another example. Like originally they had wanted, I think it was 4 floors is what they were looking to do. And then because there was a proposal by the federal government that if they made it 5 floors to increase the amount of affordable housing, they get this grant. And so it's just, they're just thinking about it. Like, this isn't even, you know, nothing's happening quite yet, but then, you know, you're going to do a meeting, and now there's 100 kids, like literal children, sitting in the gallery with like parents that are protesting. You know, you know, oh, you know, we can't do this for our kids' future. You know, like, you don't want kids playing in the dark. Like,
yeah.
These really emotional appeals. It was like, oh, man, like, we just wanted to make some extra money here on the side. Like, so it really is a lot of compromise. It makes you really appreciate that things aren't nearly as cut and dry as you would think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes just to building a building. You know, it's not just lay down the foundation and pour the concrete. There's a lot of paper signing, a little pencil pushing that needs to go down for that to happen.
Even, you know, something not as controversial. I mean, the 75 Dumbo was controversial from all sides. You had the kids, you had the seniors who like, well, I have to walk uphill and everywhere I go to get home again. Or the preservationists who don't want that.
That was a big one, too.
Yeah, it's just even something not controversial. I mean, it just people have to have their say. And you kind of see that in planning meetings all the time. It's like, we want to turn this lot into, you know, several different towns. It's like, well, hold on. I live the next street over, and that's going to reduce my property values because there wasn't townhouses there when I moved in 5 years ago. And now there's going to be. And yeah, it's... I think people underestimate how tough these decisions can be because you hear from the developer and you hear from staff and they're like, oh, here are all these benefits. And then you hear from like one or two people who actually took the time to come to a council meeting and are saying, this is going to affect us personally. And then I feel like a lot of the wags and the people who watch, I mean, we can be critical of council, but I think we also have to appreciate the difficulty in sometimes making those decisions.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a job that you know, it's some tough loving that goes on. You know, you don't, again, like I said, you don't get the coverage when everything's going according to plan. It's only when everything's kind of falling apart that everyone suddenly has a, you know, vested interest in politics. During that bylaw meeting, there was a concerned citizen, Rodney Kubis. He came up. And one, you have to appreciate, you know, how much guts it took for this guy to go and talk at a city council meeting. He's this big, burly guy. You know, if you ran into him on the street, you'd be like, oh, this guy isn't afraid of anybody. But, you know, you get a mic in front of his face and saying in front of city council, like, his voice was audibly shaking. He's, you know, he's outside of his comfort zone. But this is a thing that he is passionate about and he needs to go and talk about.
Right.
And so he bought his house, I think it was behind what's it called? Was it Watson Street?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a development happening there, and he was saying, you know, 5 out of 10 of these lots back onto my property line. And when I bought this house, that wasn't the case, you know. And now you're talking about putting up these 2-level condos, you know, like that totally affects my livelihood. That's why I'm in this house right now, was because I didn't have this problem. And so, you know, you have to balance, but like, you don't want to screw over Rodney, but at the same time, you know, you can create houses for another 10 families. So it is definitely a system of compromise, and kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Yep. I think that's that's the only way to look at it. And I think people underestimate that. For people who get into politics, because you kind of read, and I saw this reaction on Budget Night where it's like, oh, just a bunch of people out for themselves and just get all riled up. And it's like, yeah, they passed a 1% levy, but I mean, how would you feel if you're like driving down Wyndham Street and then like a sinkhole opens because the pipe burst, you know, 18 months ago and no one noticed? Or the city was like, okay, we can put it off until do it next December or what have you. But, you know, you can't underestimate also, you know, the fact that people's taxes are going to go up 1% either. And it's a tricky balancing act. And I guess the question is, you want to give up an extra $4 a year, a month, or do you want to have, you know, Wyndham Street collapse out from under you?
Well, people definitely, you know, they definitely talk from their gut and from their pockets. If you read any newspaper right now, you'll see that like most people don't have more than $2,000 of disposable income at any time.
Right.
And so then when, you know, you hear from, you know, when you hear from your couch in your house on television, these counselors who you don't know on a personal level, you know, you don't know their stories, going like, well, we're just going to raise it by 1%. You know, you're like, well, like, what the hell? What are these people thinking? but at the same time, like Mayor Guthrie made a point. He's like, we have $100 million problem and we need to fix this at some point. You know, if we don't fix this now, we have to fix it later. So why don't we just, you know, bite the bullet on this and at least, you know, make some headway towards getting this done as opposed to just pushing this off to a later date when it's going to cost even more. So
what's your opinion of city council now that you've kind of seen it in action?
I think it's I think the city staff keep it running very smoothly. I think they've got some very competent people down there. James Crowder, their treasurer. I think he's, as a treasurer nerd myself, I have major respect for him. He pretty much any question they pose to him, he'll either have an answer or within 5 minutes they'll. That was definitely a phrase I heard a lot. Is James can you know we'll give you a minute and he'll have an answer. So, you know, he definitely was working under pressure and delivering, which is I think very important when you're deliberating on the spot too, because mm-hmm. you know you need to have your ducks in a row and kind of have your facts straight when you're making decisions like that. Yeah, I would say I think a lot of people probably I feel like a lot of people judge people based on their actions. Mm-hmm. Whereas they judge themselves on their intentions. You know, you only got you look at people and you're like, oh, you're doing that because you're a bad person. But you don't really think too hard about, well, why would that person do that? Why would they increase the tax levy by 1%? You know, you're just like, oh, like these politicians, they're so out of touch. They don't understand money. You know, money's tight. But, you know, they know. Like, they get elected through interacting through the public. And those are the people that are talking to them about this tax levy. They're aware that it's going to hit people, you know, hard in their pockets. But you know, there needs to be compromise, and there needs to be, sometimes you just got to lose, you know, you can't win all the time. You can't always just push things off. And so sometimes that's, you got to be the devil's advocate on that one. And so I do have a bit more, well, I've always had respect for public office, but I think people definitely, give them a bit more hard time than they're deserving of.
Well, I didn't intend for you to cover the planning meeting this past Monday night. Mm-hmm. By the time this airs, so I think I'm putting this up New Year's weekend, so just to give people a bit of context. But when I say this past Monday, I don't literally mean this past Monday. When you're listening to this podcast, the folks at home I'm talking to right now, but I didn't intend for you to do that. I intended to go myself, but, you know, things happen. So you got an extra
dose.
Extra dose of it. I think what I wanted to ask you and curious about is what are you planning from here? You were doing a victory lap this semester, yep. Essentially. So,
I have only one course next semester. So I'm an unrestricted free agent, as they say in the sports world. So, if you're listening at home and you're looking for someone to do your dirty work, so there's an internship for a member of provincial parliament working in Queen's Park. I'm currently applied to that, hoping to hear back from that soon. I would, if everything goes well, I'd like to run for public office one day. I do enjoy local politics. I think I could do well, which I think is important. I think you need to be on your own side first before anyone else is on your side. So that's definitely, this is all things going according to plan. Otherwise, I'll just be working, you know, odd jobs. Obviously, if you'd like to have me back on, I will always say yes. And just volunteering around the city, just kind of getting my hands into anything I can, just trying to be at a grassroots level and, you know, get involved.
Well, good luck to you. And I'll say this on the podcast so that it is available for anyone to listen. It's like if another opportunity comes up to have you sub, I will be more than happy to do that if you're available. And yeah, you did a great job. And I know it's not easy. And I know that, you know... doing it myself, and I actually started this the live tweeting actually during last year's budget process, so I know just like how hard it is that like on the job training. Mm-hmm. And there's really no other way to do it. You can't like do a practice Twitter to
no, it's really
tough, and I know that I appreciated the way you did the job and filling in, and I've gotten feedback from a lot of different people who really appreciated not just that you filled in, but that you did it very well. So
thank you.
So I just want to say publicly, thank you so much for taking part. I'm glad you were available and that we were able to make a connection via Reddit, actually. And because I was I'll put this again on the record. I was almost at the point of giving up because I had this on the Canon. I had this on Kijiji. I had it on... a couple of different places. I had it on Politico. I had it through Twitter. I'd started in like May trying to find someone, and I was about to give up. I'm like, well, I'll give Reddit a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Reddit comes through and, and delivers me Bradley.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you were on Reddit that night and that we were able to get together on Politico and make this enhance this successful budget season. Yeah,
for sure.
we were there to capture it all.
That's
you were there to capture it all, and I signed your paychecks, so.
It's all part of the process.
Yeah, that's right. There is no I in team.
Exactly.
So that's a good place to leave it on. So, Bradley, thank you so much for all your work, and I hope to work with you some more in the future.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
And once again, that was Bradley Breeden. I'm sure that's not the last we'll hear from him, so we'll see what happens in the new year. And speaking of the new year, there'll be no Politicast next week as we make the switch over from Fridays to Wednesdays, but there will be plenty of Politicasts in 2017, so stay tuned. But that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The theme music for Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And thank you to everyone who has donated this year, and I look forward to continuing to provide this coverage well into 2017 and beyond. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.